Well, good evening. It's good to see each of your faces and to see so many out to the house of the Lord tonight to hear the Word of God. The theme that the Holy Spirit, the Lord, I believe, has given to me is simply this: where can I find help? The Holy Spirit and the Christian. Where can I find help? The Holy Spirit and the Christian. John 14, verse 25 says this: "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." And so this evening I would like in our message to meditate upon the person and upon the work and upon the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to do that under three headings. And those headings are simple. And so if you children are writing down those headings, I'm going to talk about our desires. I'm going to talk about a text of Scripture, and then I'm going to give an application or two. So we're going to talk about our desires, and a text of Scripture, and some application. Or for the rest of us, maybe, our longings or experience, a brief exposition, and some application. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to come and to speak to our hearts through His Word. Our Father, it's our desire this evening that we might be taught by You from Your Word, that you would challenge us and move us by Your Word and by Your Spirit. We confess that in the evening service we may feel distracted or tired, or what's going to happen at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, or other things. We know, Lord, that Satan desires to steal the Word from our hearts. We think of those especially, Lord, this evening who are lost in their sins. And so, Lord, we pray that You would come to each of our hearts, old and young alike, with the Word of God and with the movement of God. And we pray in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. I think many sermons that I've heard on the work of the Holy Spirit or the person of the Holy Spirit begin often with the phrase of how much the Holy Spirit is forgotten or not talked about very much. As I was preparing this message, I would feel like I read that everywhere that I went. And so I feel like I needed to say that because it's always out there. I don't think that we've neglected Him here at Grace, but I do believe that at the same time, there may be ways in which we, as the people of God, we don't consciously think or praise the Holy Spirit or think about the Holy Spirit in our personal life and in our church life. But like I said, whatever the case, the earlier commentators that you read, there's always something being said about forgetting the Holy Spirit. And brethren, I think that's because it's something that happens generation after generation after generation since the Spirit has been given. And that we're in the same boat, if you will, with believers that go back 1,000 years, 2,000 years. Believers who don't know much about the Spirit, who don't have much understanding about Him. And I think if I asked you personally, if we were one-on-one together, you would say that registers in your hearts, that you don't think much about His influence. We don't think about the fact that the Father and the Son have sent Him. We don't think about very much in a deep way or in a meditative way of what happened in our regeneration, the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit that Peter talks about, and what He's doing in our hearts right now, in this even very moment where He's sanctifying us and where He's working in our hearts to make us more like Christ. We know that He's there, But if we were asked very much about him, we might not have very many right answers. And furthermore, we might even be afraid that we might be carried away into some type of extreme or in something that's too experimental as well. I heard a message this week by Charles Swindoll in which he was recounting some of that as he was giving an introduction to the Holy Spirit. And the more I listened to him, I realized that he had preached this message at least 15 or 20 years ago because he was talking about tapes and CDs. And so it made me think that, again, this is a perennial issue. This is something that goes again and again. And so this evening, I want us to begin, to emphasize again, I really mean that, to think about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, what's said about him in the Scriptures, especially looking at some of those verses in chapter 14 and 15 and 16 that were read for us earlier. Now, you children, this evening, I took out my old children's catechism. If you could see it, I have my little name written probably when I was 8 or maybe 9 years old. And I would just encourage you with your parents to take out or ask them to take out the little children's catechism. And it is a bit of a longer answer that's maybe a little difficult to memorize, but it might be helpful for you and your parents, and you can think about this too, because this isn't a subject that we just want the grown-ups, the adults, to be thinking about, but you young people, you littler ones, to be thinking about the Holy Spirit. Question 29 says, "The Spirit applies to us the redemption purchased by Christ by working faith in us and thereby uniting us in our effectual calling." And then the next question is, what is the effectual call? And I'm not going to read all of that, but I'll read this beginning. "Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of all of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, he persuades and enables us to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered in the gospel." There's so much truth in that. So you young ones, and look at that at another time. This evening, brethren, I do not contend that I'm a theologian. So I do, though, want to bring several important points to you. And so let's begin with our first point. And the first point has to do with our longings, the longings of our heart if you're a child of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen." Paul is echoing here what is the great desire, the longing of every Christian's heart. And your heart this evening as a child of God, we desire more and we desire deeper communion with him. We want to experience our God at a deeper level, at a richer level. We want to be, don't we, like those of the past that we've read. We long for personal, and we long for church, and we long for national revival. And I bet if I ask you this evening the question, do you want to know more communion with God? You'd say, I bet you would say, oh, Stephen, I do. I want to know more communion with God. And whether you're 8 years old this evening or whether you've walked with God for 50 years, you long to know him more. Your heart echoes with what Pastor Randy was preaching this morning, where he was reminding us of Paul's words in Philippians chapter 3. I want to know him. I want to know the power of the resurrection and be conformed to his death. As the psalmist tells us in many places, I have set the Lord always before me. I want to seek his face. I desire like a deer. I pant after you, O God. And some of us tonight, if we're honest, we say before the Lord here in his house that we feel dry spiritually. It seems that he's far away, that he's distant. And again, we say in our hearts, just like the deer is panting after the water brooks, oh Lord, my soul is panting after you. I want to know you. I want to have that experiential relationship with you. I want to walk with you. I want to meet with you. But then in our hearts, don't we say so often, Lord, there's just so many things in my life. There's so much pressure sometimes. There are pressures in my work, and there are pressures in my family, and there's my failing health at times. And on it goes, these pressures in our hearts. They cry out to God. They cry out to God this evening. Oh, God, I want to know you and to meet with you. Well, brethren, tonight, a study of the Holy Spirit will show you that that desire that's within you even this evening, that sometimes seems just like a little small flame, that it has begun and that it has been stirred by the Lord, by the Spirit, and that His power is fully able to sustain it because He started it, because He inflamed it, because He was the one who acted upon you. And so the answer is yes, you can grow in greater fellowship with God. You've not stopped growing. You've not stopped moving along in the way of the Lord. Because of who the Spirit is, and all of His power, and all of His attribute, and all of the might of God. And so we may say this evening that God has sent us a helper to help us in our communion and in our devotion to God. So be encouraged in that, dear believer, this evening as you press on in the Lord. Galatians chapter 5 verse 15 says, "Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." It says that the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit lusts against the flesh. And Romans 6 and Romans 8 also open up these truths. And if I ask you tonight, as we're thinking about the longings of our hearts, do you want to know more victory over your sin? I bet that you do. I know that you do. Your heart cries out tonight, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, I want to know more victory over my sin. Because tonight you feel that certain sins that are in your life, whether you're 12 years old or whether you're 69 years old, there's some sins that are still seeming to have such a hold on your heart and on your life. Maybe it's doubt, that you doubt God, that you're like Israel. You come across the Red Sea, and there's such victory, and then there's just not water to drink. And now you're ready to murmur and complain and to throw God off, and the Lord has to bring the water, and on it goes. Maybe it's pride. Maybe that stubborn pride that wells up in your heart and it acts out against other believers or people in your home. Or maybe it's anger that still has such a dominion in your life. Do you all remember, those of you that I've had for Bible class, remember this. Do you remember that viral video that went around about that sheep a while back? Remember there was like a narrow ditch, and as you're watching the video, there's that sheep that's down in the ditch, remember? And so what happens? Well, there's this young boy, maybe he's 14, 15 years old, and he has like a staff. It looked like a little hook, and he's able to jerk that sheep right up out of that hole. Got that little narrow trench, kind of like it must have been for, you know, piping or whatever. And so as you're watching that, you're thinking, man, this is the greatest video on the love of the shepherd, you know, and how he watches out for the sheep and he jerks the sheep out. And then what happens? The sheep is safe. And so he runs away with great joy, right? Hop, hop, back down in the hole again, right? Remember it? Right down in that little, it's a little ditch, but sheep can get stuck pretty easy. And so he's down there again, right? Wasn't that us tonight as the people of God? Some of you are stuck back down in that ditch again. You are. And it's frustrating and it's discouraging. And so it can be with the war with sin. It's hard to mortify our sin. And day by day and year by year, and we run and we fall and we run and we fall. And we feel at times, don't we, the consequences of our sinful decisions and sinful words. And then as we grow older, those of us that have grown older in the Lord, we realize that we may win today, but tomorrow might be worse, right? Or we might fall, or we do fall. Well, brethren, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit reminds us that He is working in us and that He is transforming us and that He has done a mighty work in our lives, applying the work of Christ on the cross to us. And think about it. He's not only working in you as an individual believer, but He's working in every believer on this whole planet at this moment. And He's done that all throughout time, working, giving deliverance, giving victory, helping the believer. That's a lot of power. Even if at times we think, where's the power for us? We have to get our minds expanded to think about that great demonstration of power. He can give us victory over sin. Satan has not won in that area, dear brother, dear sister. And in the end, God will win in our lives. He'll take us home. This is the power, dear ones, the power of the Spirit that created the world, Genesis chapter 1, that was in the incarnation and that was in the Lord Jesus and that is available to us. Be encouraged, believer, in your mortification of sin. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. And you have the Word of God that the Spirit has given. The third area of our longing, dear ones, isn't it, is what Ephesians 6 verse 11 says, to put on the whole armor of God. And it reminds us that we are in a spiritual warfare. And don't we feel that spiritual warfare very keenly each day, some days more than other days? And we know, don't we, that we're no match for Satan. We're no match for the works of darkness and all the influences, this world's philosophy, this world's schemes, this world's ways. And let's be honest tonight, those fiery darts come hard, don't they? And they hurt. And they come into us, those fiery darts of which the Apostle Paul talks about. And they often hit those blind spots, don't they, in our lives. And there's no rest in this world, or not much of it. Well, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit reminds us that He not only gives, but He empowers the weapons to fight the Christian battles that we have. He's given us that spiritual armor that the Apostle Paul talks about that we can take on. And not only has He given us the armor, but He's actually told us that He'll empower that armor as we use it, as we take it up every day in our workplace and in our homes and in our situations to fight the Christian battles that are ahead of us. And brethren, these are the right weapons that He has given. The weapon of faith, and all prayer, and the helmet of the hope of salvation. There's no other weapon that we need, because the Spirit is so wise. He's the Spirit of truth, and so He's given us those weapons. And so we can take them up, and we can use them to fight day by day. And so be encouraged that you have the right weapons to fight the Christian warfare. Finally, the last longing that we have in our souls and in our hearts is summarized for us through 2 Peter 3, verse 18, another longing where Paul, or the Apostle Peter says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that if I asked you this evening, do you want to know more about God and grow in your knowledge of God? I bet that you do. You feel that you know so little this evening, that you've grown only a little, that you know certain debates about doctrines, you know how to study the Bible maybe, but you feel so small in your spiritual understanding, in your mental reasoning, in your ability to deal with truth. And maybe you feel this evening that you're still sharing certain quotes and talking about certain books and scriptural phrases that you learned many, many years ago. You feel that you're living on past grace and past works of the Spirit in your life. And as you grow older, you're finding it hard to memorize scripture or think about key truths. But you long to read more books. You long to know more truth. You long to go deeper into the love of God and into the doctrines of grace and the doctrines of the Scripture. Well, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit reminds you that God the Holy Spirit has inspired the Scriptures for us to learn, and that He can, and that He's fully able and not at all hindered by all that's hindering in us to give us understanding, to give us help to learn and to grow in the Lord. Have you known that even this week? As you've opened up your Bible in a tired moment in the afternoon after a busy day of work, and you said, I desire to know you, O Lord. I desire to be faithful to your word. And you open up maybe a passage like 2 Samuel chapter 10, and you begin to read it. And what happens? The Holy Spirit takes the word because it's His word and it's a living word. And what does He do with that word? He begins to stir your heart. And you take out your pen and your little notebook and you begin to write some thoughts down. And you grow in the knowledge of God, and you grow in experiential knowledge of God. And you come away saying, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for teaching me again. Thank you for helping me again. Thank you that you want me to learn more of the doctrine of God. You want me to learn more about your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Holy Spirit, He loves to point us towards Jesus Christ. And so as we're studying the Scriptures and meditating on the Scriptures and praying over the Scriptures and even sharing the Scriptures with others, He helps us. The Holy Spirit takes the preaching and the teaching of God's Word as we're hearing it Sunday by Sunday. Maybe it's a phrase, maybe it's a sentence. And it begins to warm our hearts and thrill our hearts. And he is working within us because He is the Counselor. So those are just some of the longings of our hearts, dear ones, tonight. There may be other longings that we could highlight. Certainly the longing for heaven. I thought about that this afternoon as we think about passages like in Galatians chapter 5 and Romans chapter 8. But I want to make an application to some of you tonight that aren't believers that are here or who may be listening to my voice. Let me just say to some of you who are here tonight and not believers, whose hearts are closed up to the gospel and to the word. And in fact, as I've been preaching tonight, maybe your heart has become soft to the ministry of the Word. And you're trying even now to harden it back up again, to block it out, to block out what I'm saying. I want to tell you in no uncertain terms that you are no match for God, and you are no match for the Holy Spirit. And there are brothers and sisters all around this room that can give testimony to that and have given testimony in recent weeks. He is the Spirit who was there in creation, forming all things, seen and unseen. He is the Spirit who was there in the incarnation in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2, causing Jesus to be born of the Virgin Mary, and the one who filled the Son of God in His ministry and in His death. And He has opened up many, many cold and stubborn hearts. Your heart and your life tonight is no match for the Holy Spirit. It just isn't. And Jesus says to you tonight, you must be born again. The Apostle Paul echoes this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. We remember, most of us probably, the account of the Apostle Paul as he was then called Saul, and he was on his way to persecute the church and persecute God's people and drag people out of their homes who had confessed the Lord. And the Lord came and met him in that light and said to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he was broken, as he recounts it in a sense. In Galatians 1:15, he says, "God called me by his grace." And as one pastor said one time, "When he calls you, you'll come." And those of you that are unconverted tonight, when he calls you, you will come. You will bow your knee to Jesus. You will, your heart will be transformed. As one brother said in his testimony recently, you will be filled, as it were, with liquid love. The love of God will be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5, verse 5. God calls me by his grace. And that call will be effectual. He is fully able to open up your heart, causing the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Believe in him tonight. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's role is to glorify Christ, to make him known. And the age of the Holy Spirit has begun. And his chief role is to apply the work of Christ to our hearts. Now, the scriptures give to us, dear ones, a number of very important scriptures that help us to understand the Holy Spirit. And for the sake of time this evening, I'd like for us to look at just one, and that's John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. So let me do what I'm calling a brief exposition. And don't worry, it is brief. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. Brethren, if I can leave in this you in this message with you knowing in a deeper way, in the conviction of your soul, that you have a helper, I believe I will have met the mark that the Holy Spirit put upon my heart, I believe. Let me make four easy points about the Holy Spirit from John 14. Now, Jesus is with his disciples in the upper room discourse. He's about to go to the cross. He understands where the disciples are in their understanding and in their place at this time. And so he makes these four points. I want you to think about them. First, Jesus tells the disciples that he will pray for them and that they will receive someone called a helper, an advocate, or a counselor. Isn't that profoundly encouraging this evening? That this one would be the one that Jesus would send. You see, as we're understanding the person of the Holy Spirit, we remind ourselves that it is the Lord Jesus that has sent the Spirit. And so we may say very boldly that he could not have sent less and he could not have sent more, right? But he has sent exactly what we need as the people of God. That word, helper, can be translated advocate, intercessor, counselor, comforter, helper, paraclete. The idea is to be close beside, someone who's close beside us. The best illustration I can think about close beside is when we're sitting in an airplane. Yeah, or when we're going through security. A number of us have been on trips. You know, you're just right on top of someone else. Well, that's the idea of the Holy Spirit. He's just right there with us. Another part of the definition is this. Listen to it. Makes the right judgment call because he's so close to the situation. Isn't that a good description of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives? He's so close to the situation. He is with the Father and with the Son. And so he's so close to the purpose of God for us that he can make the right judgment call, that he makes the right judgment call in our lives. He's the helper, the aider, the assistant. So of the Holy Spirit, destined to take the place of Christ with the apostles, to lead them into deeper knowledge of gospel truth, to give them divine strength needed to enable them to undergo trials and persecution on behalf of the divine kingdom. So think that throughout this week about this helper. Throughout your week, keep reminding yourself, I have a helper. I have an advocate. I have this paraclete, this counselor with me, sent by Jesus as I go about the roles that the Lord has for me. Secondly, Jesus further describes him as the Spirit of truth. Everything truthful, all understanding, all wisdom are found in him, leading us, illumining our hearts, and especially here, the hearts of the disciples. Third, Jesus clarifies that the wicked world does not understand or even desire what the Spirit has in truth. And that makes sense, right? Because the things of the Spirit are not the things of this world. They're completely opposite. And it'll only be then as the Holy Spirit comes into a heart and opens it up and transforms it, does it become a new and a soft heart and sensitive and open and teachable to this counselor that God has given. And then the fourth point that I would make is that Jesus is implying that it's good for him to go away. Isn't that something? Jesus says it's good for me that I go away because he is giving this gift. And this gift is a person. And it's the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray that throughout this week you'll really think about that. I've been given a gift, but it's the gift of a person from God himself, this helper from God. Now, I could go through more with John 15 and John 16 this evening. And Jesus opens up greater dimensions of these truths. But I just would give you this next one thought, and that is simply, help is here, it's not on the way. Help is here, it's not on the way. Well, I tried to put together a story for you to help illustrate this. So we'll see how it goes. You know, stories can fall apart, but we'll see if it'll help you as we come to a close here. Suppose your son or your daughter wants to go to a specialized college. It's very, very expensive, more expensive than Elon. It's going to cost a lot for room and board. Maybe it's $80,000 or it's a lot. And while there is some financial aid, it's really impossible to afford. But the college is very important because it offers a unique type of training. So suppose I say to you, I can help. Well, I think what you might think is, well, maybe Stephen can give $100. But he certainly isn't able to pay for it all. But suppose I could pay for it all, and you were able to go 4 years to this top college. And so the registration's been paid for classes. Now you got to stay with me. It's just a story. The registration is paid for classes. You're getting the paperwork together. Your son or daughter is. And your son or daughter is just really, really grateful and still in shock that the Bird family could pull this off. They struck oil in the backyard there, right? Graham has oil. Well, you'd be very grateful. Those of you, the college students, right? You'd be very grateful. But what will ensure you're going to be able to finish that degree? Specialized training is very expensive. It's a very prestigious university. But suppose then, as you're there on campus, okay, don't laugh, but you can laugh a little, I guess. You see my personal lawyer. And you walk up to him and say, oh, thanks, Stephen, so much for this gift. I'm just so nervous about my studies. I just don't think I can make it. And he says to you, oh, it's okay. I'm here to help you, too. I have a small apartment off campus. I'll be here to help you the whole way through, to help you get going with everything. I'm here for the difficulties, for the pressures. In fact, I actually understand the degree very much. I wrote a few of the textbooks for the specialized degree. I was a professor for a time at this university, and you're going to have to work really hard, but I'll be there for you. And in trouble, I'll be there to advocate for you during your 4 years. I'll be there to give you counsel, and you're going to make it. Well, there's my attempt at a story. But you see my point. The bigger point is that the Lord Jesus must die on the cross and rise again and go back to the Father. And so what he does is he sends us his Spirit in his place. And he, the Spirit, comes and he teaches us and he works in us and he's given us the Scriptures and he prepares us and he blesses us and he makes us long for heaven and he sustains us. And he does the work of continuing to renew our hearts so that we do persevere. And then one day we go and we're with the Father and with the Son and with the Spirit and with those that are in heaven forever and ever. Our application tonight is that the Lord Jesus has given to us his Holy Spirit, that God the Father has given to us the Spirit to be a great help as we walk with God. Therefore, let us be more confident as we're living our Christian life, that it is not just us working hard and stirring ourselves up, but it is the Spirit within us working within our hearts and minds. Listen to these two passages from Ephesians. Ephesians 1 verse 17, Paul says, "May he give you the spirit of wisdom and of the revelation in the knowledge of him." Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16, "That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being." The simple application from the youngest believer here among us who might be 8 years old to the oldest believer among us is that God has done an amazing work in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we can be sure that if the Spirit of God has begun this work in regeneration, and what regeneration really means, of how transformative and radical and amazing that regeneration was to clean out such a filthy and perverse heart, mind, and soul as he did, in our lives, to do such a radical work within us that he can and will fulfill our longings for communion with him, our desires to fight against sin, that he will give us might in the spiritual warfare, and he can increase our knowledge of God. We can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear believer, run again. You have the help you need sent from your loving Heavenly Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. May we grow in our understanding and our dependence upon the Holy Spirit this week. Let's pray. Dear Father, grow us in our understanding and in our dependence on the Holy Spirit. Teach us, Holy Spirit, from your word, more of the knowledge of God. Give to us, even this week, signal victories over sin. Give to us strength in spiritual warfare. Increase our longings after you, our longings for heaven. And may the God of hope fill us with joy and peace in believing, that we may abound in hope by the Holy Spirit. O our Father, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be upon each of us individually and on us as a congregation and on all your people. Amen.